and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV. We're so glad to have you with VFN TV today. Join me in just a little bit will be John Ramos. Americanism versus communism. Think about it. Does that seem strange? Did you know we used to teach that in our schools? We used to teach every, before you could graduate from high school in America, not only did we teach reading, writing, and arithmetic, but we taught Americanism versus communism. And reports are today that there's communism and the mindset of communism moving throughout the world, throughout the nation. And since we don't even know what it is, we're just falling for it. But there's a whole different concept than Americanism. But right now, I want us to go. Glenn Beck did an excellent job just yesterday describing the path, the roadway that we're on. And we got to get this. And believe me, over the days, we're going to educate ourselves more on what this actually means and where we're at in the concept of this whole possible strategy of what's going on in the world today. It's going to make a lot of sense to you. Take a look at this.
Tonight, I want to lay out some things for you. I'm going to lay out the globe on a warpath. I feel like we should do this and kind of beat this over our heads here for a while until you really understand it and until we can all kind of parrot it back and share it with our friends, because this is the next step. We had the caliphate established, and this is the next step, and some really disturbing things, because we are, I believe, on the verge of World War III, or actually we may actually have already been in the beginning of it, but we don't notice it yet. There are two primary movements that are steering us down this path, and I'll dive into those here in just a minute. But we're missing the boat all over the world, and there's some really disturbing things that will come down the path that you need to know about in advance, because we can't miss things like we missed in December of 2010. This was the beginning of it, and I talked about it when I was at Fox. A municipal inspector in Tunisia, making the usual rounds and assessing the usual fines for noncompliance, she attempted to shut down a 26-year-old fruit cart vendor. She had no idea the chain reaction she was about to cause. The vendor began to resist. The inspector slapped him in the face, humiliated him, and apparently at wit's end, he doused himself with paint thinner and set himself on fire. The witnesses nearby watched in horror, and they had no idea, no clue. When I said this at the beginning, that this would be the moment that would set the Middle East on fire, everybody said that was nuts. It was the beginning of a revolution. When he died on January 4th, the protests grew even larger. By January 14th, Tunisia's president had been ousted. I want to just stop here for just a second, and I want you to listen to me. I want you to notice that it was people who were pushed to wit's end by a big government, that it was a seemingly stupid altercation. It was somebody saying, I can't take it anymore, and doing something violent, in this case, to themselves. The world looked on, the person died, and within months, the Arab Spring was setting the entire Middle East on fire. Now, Islamic radicals like ISIS are on the march, trying to usher in the caliphate which they have established. The president has said ISIS has nothing to do with Islam, but that also couldn't be more wrong. If you plot ISIS and their moves, you will see that they neatly lined up with end times Islamic prophecy. And this is where we have to start. These are radical Islamists, and they believe that there are only 12 legitimate leaders of the caliphate, caliphs. We're on leader number 8. So, the first thing I want to tell you about on the road to World War III that you really need to understand is we are dealing with the caliphate, with 12 imams. We've talked about this so many times before. These are indeed end times people. They believe the armies of Rome, and that's important to remember that. Let me write that up. The armies of Rome are going to fight the army of Islam in Syria. and that their final war will be in Jerusalem. Does any of that sound familiar to you? After ISIS beheaded Christians in Libya, they predicted the victory against Rome. I want you to watch this.
And we will conquer Rome by Allah's permission, the promise of our Prophet, peace be upon him.
Okay. Why Rome? Why Rome? Because this is a holy war. Whether you like it or not, whether we want to admit it, it is a holy war. Rome, they're going back to the Crusades, but they also may be going back to the future. They've made this claim repeatedly. They have said, quote, "We will conquer your Rome, break your crosses, enslave your women by the permission of Allah the Exalted." That quote actually comes from a magazine, an important word to know, Dabiq. I think that's how you pronounce it. This is really important. It doesn't seem important. It's just a little farming town in Syria. ISIS recently had a victory in this little farming town. It's seemingly strategically irrelevant, so why bother? Because this is the place where a big battle happens, the future battle between Islam and Rome. It's supposed to take place. Let me show you what it says in their magazine. Quote, "As for the name of the magazine, it is taken from an area named Beek in northern countryside of Halab in Sham. This place was mentioned in the Hadith describing some of the elements of the Malahim." This is what people refer to as Armageddon in English, Malahim. One of the greatest battles between Muslims and the Crusaders will take place, they think, there. This is Armageddon. Now that's who they think they are. With every move they make, they are trying to bring about the end of the world according to the Islamic faith. So, whether you like it, the president likes it, or I like it, doesn't matter. It has everything to do with Islam the way these people understand this. Whatever you want to say about their version of Islam, it is Islam to them. And these Islamic jihadists are using now new technology to call every idle and disenfranchised youth who are looking for anything to believe in to join them. Remember the disenfranchised youth, because it's going to play a very important role in the future. It's working. The amount of foreign fighters now flocking to ISIS is baffling experts everywhere. It shouldn't be. Two teenage brothers were just caught trying to leave Australia to go fight with ISIS. The government knows of at least 90 citizens now who are currently fighting for ISIS, and it's going to continue to spread. But ISIS is only half of the battle. If you're going on the road to World War III, radical Islam is part one. Hard fascism is the other side. If you remember right, in World War II, we had the fascists and the communists. That's really what this is. They're both fascists, if you will. But these two will eventually, I believe, oppose one another. I hope so. If they don't, we're really screwed. But the rise of fascism and totalitarianism is happening now all across Europe. And let me take you to Europe. First, we go to the Nazis in Greece. Golden Dawn Party, they're winning elections. Italy also now has a huge Right North League party. It's polling at about 14%. In France, you have the Le Pen Party, the National Front. The Prime Minister of France just said that Le Pen is on the way to become president. Denmark, the Danish People's Party, and they doubled their seats in the European Parliament and have a 27% popularity in their home nation. Pegida and Golden Dawn have both launched branches also in Spain, so there's competing Nazis in Spain. Spain suffered a huge terrorist attack, if you remember, in 2004, killed 191 people, and resentment against the immigrant population continues to escalate. Pegida also continues to grow in Germany, and immigrant populations play a role there. Vienna is where where Weiss recently spoke to one of the protesters. Listen to this from Vienna.
Wir sind am Islamisierung mitteilen. und ich als Serbe, ich will nicht zulassen, dass meine Brüder, und ich sehe Österreich als meine Brüder, genauso wie Deutsche, genauso wie die Russen, genauso wie die Franzosen und Engländer, alle Weißen sehe ich als meine Brüder. Und ich will nicht sehen, wie sie all das auch miterleben müssen. Deswegen werde ich bis zum letzten Tropfen Blut für dieses Land kämpfen und für ganz Europa.
Got it, sounds good. They're getting support from all over the world. But the real key that you need to know is the hard fascists that are supporting these guys in these countries that come from Russia. The head of the problem in Europe, I mean in the Middle East, is ISIS and Iran. And the head of the fascist, I believe, is in Russia. Meanwhile, Le Pen and other far-right European leaders are lining up against these guys and their efforts to rebuild. And this is really important that you know this, hard fascism. Russia is trying to rebuild the Third Roman Empire. Roman is the key. This is all based on Russia's history of the Orthodox Church, whose center is in Crimea, and they're using that to stir nationalism. There are two primary movements driving things into the dangerous direction. There is hard fascism, excuse me, and radical Islam. But unfortunately, there is also the rise of soft fascism. Soft fascism is what we see now with bank bailouts, where the only time that I've ever heard anybody forced to take a loan at a bank is when the Treasury did it to the banks and said, you have to take the bank bailout. The NSA, the IRS, and this is also in Great Britain and the West. And it's all based on security. It's gaining a foothold because they're saying, we have security concerns, we have safety concerns. The police commissioner in Great Britain is recommending that everyone put a camera in their home so you can stop crime. The NSA, the DHS, has abused the Fourth Amendment, and now we're playing the national security trump card in the face of scrutiny. So you can't actually get down to anything because DHS is saying it's all about national security. Now, this is real. The caliphate is real. They are end times. They're in a holy war. They want to fight the emperor, the armies of Rome. That has not come together yet. They are here in the place where they say Armageddon will be, will happen. I told you when I was at Fox about this, everyone said it was madness. I remember being roundly scorned for saying that Nazism and fascism would rise again. It's now, this has happened now in Greece, Italy, France, Denmark, Spain, Germany, and Vienna. Russia is putting the Third Roman Empire together, and we now have soft fascism. I told you soft fascism would rise. Here it is. These things have not happened yet, but they're about to. I'll give you this. It is, and I don't know which direction, and I don't know the time and order. I have no idea when this will happen and which order they come. But these are the things you must be wary of. Call to arms. That is anyone who is saying we've got to get our army together and we've got to go fight these guys or these guys. We don't. It will suck the entire globe into a game-changing series of cataclysmic events. This is coming. And if we call to arms before the world becomes educated and admits the truth of who these guys are and who these guys are, we lose. Yes, it is about Islam, the way they understand it. Yes, it is about hate and bigotry, the way they understand it. It is about big government, strongmen, fascism, totalitarianism. You'll notice there is no freedom on this road. Nobody is talking about real freedom. The best is soft fascism. It's not random evil, and I warn you not to advocate a rush to arms before the full globe understands what it really is doing and what it's up against. I'm going to give you two other things. And again, I don't know the time and the order. Call to arms, global depression, and disenfranchised youth. I think they're going to happen one, two, three. These two will come quickly. I think we could see a call to arms by the summer because this is going to get out of control. This is already getting out of control. I don't know. I'm always horrible on time. A global depression, I think it happens after the election. That will, we are talking massive unemployment globally. That will set the youth on fire. They will be all for soft fascism, and the road to hell is paved. Now, that's the theory that we want to lay out to you and try to reinforce every day, because I think you need to know. I don't know anybody on television who is telling you this stuff. And they're going to mock and whatever. If anybody happens to see it, they will mock, and that's fine. That's fine. I'm telling you it's going to look not like this. I think it's going to look a lot like this. But you do your own homework. You watch for the signs. We'll watch them here. Now, let me give you some of the information on those things that are leading us to war. First, the radical Islamic armies fighting to usher in Armageddon. The terror group Boko Haram has pledged allegiance now to ISIS. A group of 10-year-old boys in Yemen set out to recreate the ISIS murder of the Jordanian pilot. They put another 10-year-old in a cage and poured fuel over him. Last night, my wife and I were watching The Walking Dead, and there are people on this planet that are practically living that right now. The kid was saved when some adults saw what was happening and saved him this time. The bodies of the hanging dead soldiers now greet anyone visiting a northern Iraqi city that, thanks to ISIS, is being called now, quote, hell on earth. ISIS continues to destroy ancient artifacts in Iraq, the 2,800-year-old capital of the Assyrian Empire. They busted a 64-foot city wall, crushed the artifacts there. They destroyed a 2,000-year-old desert fortress, which has survived the Roman invasions two times. Mm-hmm. On the fascist side, we mentioned Marine Le Pen polling high in France and becoming a real player in the coming prime minister election. Her radical agenda includes, listen to this carefully, calling for the collapse of the EU and nationalizing the banks. She prefers Russia over an ally over America. She wants to bring an end to legal immigration. This is the biggest problem with illegal immigration here. We are only fueling the fire for a later date, which will come. Also, you should know, while she's talking about disbanding the EU, it came out today that the EU itself is talking about making an EU army. Russia has now launched war games in disputed territories. The exercises run until April 10th. Many view the maneuvers as a message to the West, signaling Russia's readiness to fight. Vladimir Putin has compared the religious significance of Crimea to that of the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. And today we learn that Putin has admitted for the first time that the plan to annex Crimea was ordered weeks before the referendum on self-determination. We have audio for this? Okay, as we were parting, I said to my colleagues, we were obliged to start working on the return of Crimea to Russia. Happy days are here again. Also, the anti-American sentiment in Russia is the worst it's been since the Cold War. And why do they hate us? Because they feel we've lied to them. The West has lied to them. They feel the West doesn't stand for anything different. Why is it that ISIS can successfully recruit? Because people in the civilized nations will go to fight in hell, because at least the people in hell stand for something. Can I ask you, what does our nation stand for? What does the West stand for? Besides banking and phones and stuff and movies and shoes, What do we stand for? Until there are elected leaders in a majority of countries and a majority of citizens, at least in this one, that can articulate a passionate answer to what does America stand for, we will continue down the path to World War III.
It's amazing. Things don't happen till they happen. And it's crazy. This is just got to accept it. People say, no, that'll never happen, right before it happens. 1929, the president comes out and says, you have nothing to worry about. Financial collapse in 24 hours. Right before World War I, you know, the president that got into office at World War I, Woodrow Wilson, said he ran on never going to war. Guess what? He promoted the whole concept of war based on economies, that we needed somebody to buy our products because they didn't have all these taxes on America at the time. You know, World War II, we're not going to get involved. Pearl Harbor, boom, we got to get involved. And now here we are today, and you think about, where are we today? And this is, despite what they're doing, this is what God's saying to us, to his people. I'm looking for someone who'll stand in the gap for me, that I will not have to destroy this land. I want you to walk with us on this journey. VFN TV, we are here for the purpose of encouraging you to stand. Believe me, there's more of us than these few that are getting out there in these squeaky wheels. There really is. But you're going to have to stand. You can no longer sit in caves and in hiding places and in your careers and jobs and your vacations. You're going to have to stand. And God says, I look for a man amongst us who will stand in the gap so I do not have to destroy the land. This is the question. Is it you? We'll talk more about that when we get back from the break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Can teachers lawfully promote a particular religion in public school? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
You know, I'm concerned about the powers that be when they say that we can't talk about Jesus in the schools. How come the Constitution uses the expression in the year of our Lord and we're denied that ability? Teachers themselves should be able to promote Jesus in the schools because of the Constitution.
You know, the Supreme Court has drawn a distinction between the kind of what we would call state action, which is the teacher speaking, versus the students. The students clearly have the right to have Bible studies, prayer meetings, share their faith, evangelize, the events like See You at the Poll. That can take place without any constitutional problem. The difficulty is for teachers. The teacher is deemed under existing Supreme Court law to be the actor of the state. They cannot evangelize, or what they call proselytize, their faith without running afoul of the Constitution.
Stand with us and join the American Center for Law and Justice at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back to VFN TV. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Also joining me is John Ramos.
Hello. Well, we're excited about being on this program today and all the things we're going to be covering. You know, pay close attention because you're seeing events happen right now, like bugs hitting on a windshield. And if you miss it, you're going to miss what you're going to need to do. Right now, God's speaking to us about the things that are about to come and how we can prepare. The big thing is that we are prepared, because when you're not prepared, then it's over. If you wait too late, we've said you'll be bait. And then everyone says afterwards, well, why didn't I know? Well, you're being told now.
Well, you think about this, so you see everything that's happening. And I guess people have watched so many movies. Seen so much artificial stimulation,
right,
that when the real deal shows up, they don't know how to have a relationship with it, called life. And this is real, folks. This is so real. This is real. This is. I don't know what it's going to take for us to listen to the words of the Creator's Son, that we can't serve money and God. They've got to make up our mind. The thing about it is, he's saying, you can't serve them both. You got to choose which one you're going to serve. And obviously, you know, God doesn't mind us having money, but he definitely minds money having us. And listen, America is the rich young ruler right now. America is walking away from God because we have many things. And hopefully by the end of this program, you're going to hear this young Iraqi girl, Christian girl, who's been ousted from her home for being Christian. She's lost her friends. She's lost her everything. And you're going to hear her. She's going to share her testimony by ISIS, mind you. And she has a heart of forgiveness. I mean, she's lost all of her things, but she still loves Jesus. She's still committed to him at that young age. Why? What happened to us? You know, what happened? Gideon says, you know, he's talking to the angel who came to see him, and he's saying, you know, what's this? Where's this God of my forefathers that we talked about and that I hear about all these things that parted the Red Sea, that did all these different things? Where is this God? And God was going this. God was saying this to Gideon. It's going to come back. You're going to see me again, but you're going to have to stand. I'm the weakest. I'm the least. I'm just trying to eke out a living here. And anybody in America trying to eke out a living, when the poorest person in America is richer than 70% of the, how many billion people on the face of the earth?
7 billion people.
You're richer than the poorest now is richer, 70% of the you're the poorest person in America.
Yeah.
Who's eking out a living is richer than 70% of the 70% of the 7 billion folks on
That's
the face
right.
of the earth. That's a lot.
That's right.
You're very wealthy in the eyes of the world and the Lord. I think about, you know, talking recently to Apostle Isaiah,
Kadari
in Nigeria, and he says, you know, 80% of the population in Nigeria, which is a very large, you know,
it's a lot of people there.
Country there. It's very, I think it's one of the largest economies in Africa, the continent of Africa, lives on less than a dollar a day.
80% of the population, wow, lives on less than a dollar a day.
Yes, a dollar a day, and there's a lot of money there, but it's a kleptopoly there, where it's kleptos, kleptomania.
Wow.
You know, where all the leaders have taken all the money and they're leaving 80% of the population. This is the future. By the way, this is the future. The future outside of God is tyranny, is you know, God's given us the leaders that we deserve. You know, he said when everybody was crying out for a king. And when you think about it, somebody says, I don't want a king. I just want somebody that acts like a king. We want to call them
right.
president. We want to call them prime minister, but we want them to provide everything for us. And what God plainly said, when you choose that form of government, he's going to tax you to the hilt. All your best things will be taken from you, and you will be his servant. I mean, that's what he said, plain as day. You know, it's a choice between, you know, Saul or Samuel. You know, God's form of government or man's form of government. And God has a form of government. Believe it or not, John, you know, we've left God's form of government for so long now. And we've, you know, talking about replacement theology, you know, we replaced Ephesians, you know, chapter 4. We replaced Ephesians chapter 5. We replace, you know, God's form of government, marriage, and all these different things. And then we're upset because the world's trying to change, you know. It's like,
right.
Hey, just call replacement theology. You know, everybody's doing it.
Wow.
And we got to get back, you know, and God's form of government is where he's in control. It's an apostolic form of government. And, you know, Chuck Pierce with Zion Ministries out of Corinth, Texas, he said prophetically, he was talking about, you know, the reason why the governments around the world are stuck, the reason why America's government is stuck, and it's really stuck, and there's people taking advantage of it, but it's stuck because the church leadership is stuck. And I'm talking about the organized religion and all, like, I'm talking about the people who love God, who made Jesus the Lord of their life, and they're kind of just stuck. And it's like, I know this seems crazy. I know this seems crazy. You may be thinking, you know, for 20 years now, I've been going to the same place, singing these same songs, hearing these same messages, and nothing except for the same behaviors expected from me.
Mm.
And I had to quit reading because every time I read the theology that got replaced, right, I got confused.
That's right.
But then when I asked, does God really mean this?
Mm.
You told me, we've replaced that theology.
Wow.
I mean, you think about it. I mean, it's not just, you know, where people put out false theology about replacing, the church replaced Israel. No, it didn't. We're grafted into Israel. But it's, you think every aspect of theology, when God says he won't destroy the land if you stand up, but the price of standing up is potentially death. But when we made a choice for Jesus Christ, he said that that's the price. You know, Rick Joyner, Morningstar Ministries, says, you know, two of the most powerful beings in the universe are trying to kill you, right? Wants you to die. You know, Satan wants you to die and serving him and be in hell forever. You know, God wants you to die, wants us to die to ourselves so that we can live. If we die to ourselves, then we can live. And then when we do that, we're saved. We're, and not only that, he'll even save our enemies, and we can live with our enemies forever in heaven, right, as we talked about. And it's like, you know, but he says, it's come and die. It really is. And so when you see what's happening, we showed you what's happening in the shores of Libya and Tripoli, you know, the tragedy of the loss of this beheading, the killing of these Egyptian Christians. There's a special place in the throne room of God, under the throne of God, for the martyrs who die in this way. I mean, it really is. They're going to rule and reign with him. I mean, it's an amazing thing. You think, well, that's just, you know, it's only because you replaced the theology. Do you understand how the apostles who wrote at the unction of the Holy Spirit, how they wrote the scriptures? Let me tell you some of the outcomes of these guys. I mean, you think about it. You know, John wrote, one of the disciples of John, he wrote from the Isle of Patmos, where he was actually put and isolated away from everybody. You know what I'm saying? He was excommunicated from life.
Oh, yeah.
But that's when the book of Revelation came.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about that. Or you think about Paul. Paul was in prison. How many people, when somebody gets a charge, they just immediately just go, man, I just knew.
I knew it.
I knew Paul.
I knew it.
I knew Paul wasn't authentic. You know, I knew he wasn't. It's like, what are you
doing?
How do you
know that? It was in the paper.
It was in the paper. They used to have papers.
It's in the internet.
It's in the internets. And so
somebody put a post in there.
And, you know, and it's like, and so, but this is what happened to Paul. I mean, Paul was shipwrecked. He was beat. He was robbed. He was imprisoned. I mean, I don't know how many epistles are written in prison, but it's like a third of them, I believe, was written in prison. So people, we replaced the theology when he's going prosperity. You know, we replaced that with, you'll never go to jail, you'll never have an issue, you'll never be sick, you'll never be shipwrecked. And it's like, no, he was in jail and he was writing that. And he wasn't a contradiction to what he was hearing God say. He was writing it down. And so, and he wasn't perfect, but the understanding that, you know, it's going to cost you something. I mean, Hebrews chapter 10, he says, listen, don't be of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but be of those that are strong, that your consistency and your confidence will be richly rewarded in God. Even you, he reminded them of, you remember when these believers' possessions were taken and they didn't shrink back. They were, all their stuff was taken. And we're going to have this little girl on today. It's just going to melt your heart. But we got to have her kind of faith. We got to have her. I mean, think about the rich young ruler. The rich young ruler, here this man's got a lot of stuff, a lot of things. He's wealthy. Mm. He's a ruler. He's rich. He's young. You know, he's in probably the front cover of GQ magazine, I guess, the magazine you get.
Yeah.
And
it's the one you sent me.
Yeah, right. You're welcome. And so we don't have that. And so when you look at this, I mean, that's what the world would see this guy this way.
Yeah.
He's rich, he's young, he's a ruler. And you can see him on C-SPAN right now. Oh, that's a young congressman, you know, that's that one that's rich and young and it's a ruler. I mean, that's how they would see this person, right? And he talks about God all the time, this guy did. I mean, he was very religious. He was very religious.
Sure.
As a matter, he was so religious, he walked up to God, Emmanuel, Jesus, God in the flesh. He walked up to the Son of God, and he said, Jesus.
Teacher.
And he's talking to the creation, creator, right? The creation is talking to the, what must I do? Yeah, because obviously it's people like that. Yeah, they're always first in the line.
Oh, yeah.
And so he says, all you got to do is take all your possessions, give them to the poor. Don't sell them at a local pawn shop.
Right. Or put them in eBay.
All right. And come follow me. Well, that's not necessarily for everybody, but I would say it's probably for all of America. No, I would definitely say that. And so he says, this is what the guy says. Now he's talking to God, Emmanuel, Jesus, Son of God, God in the flesh. And he asked the question. So Jesus told him, for you, you've made money your God. You're serving money. Right now you're not standing for me, you're standing for money. Listen, America, if you're going to stand with God, you can't stand for money and God. You got to make up your mind. And believe me, the only reason that the enemy has people held captive to do his will, he's paying them off. He gives them these mindsets of power and money and sex. I mean, think about all these jihadists that are these young people who have been playing video games of murder that we talked about on VFN TV and said, you can't do this. And the very fact that the government is allowing that, they're fueling this murdering mindset. And then they have the nerve to say, why are young people wanting to go over to the Middle East to rape women, to behead and to kill people and pillage? Mm-hmm. They've been doing it on the video game. How much after the Navy, remember the massacre?
Yeah, absolutely.
In the Navy base in Washington, D.C.? And we talked about this. He walked through there just like the game. He was just enamored with these games. People would bring him food as he played these electronic murdering games.
16-hour marathons.
Grand Theft Auto or something. And so he walks through the Navy base in Washington, D.C. with a shotgun or rifle, whatever, shotgun, and begins to shoot our citizens. He just walks through there like he's just like the game. And the next day.
The next day,
think about this. How much?
Grand Theft Auto went on sale and it sold worth $1 billion in sales.
Billion. It was billion.
B.
They released the next version of it. And the next day, in the next couple of days, they did this. And you have to understand, if a government allows your young people to practice murdering you and robbing from you and stealing from you, that they've actually fueled this mindset. And when you heard Glenn Beck talking about, we did an excellent job of painting the pathway of what's going on, and say what you want to, he's been pretty accurate.
That's right.
Timing. But even in that, we've been talking about it. But he's talking about the disenfranchised youth. The disenfranchised digital game-playing Grand Theft Auto youth.
That's right.
Who has been shooting and killing and cutting heads off, who won't have a job. Their little electronics aren't going to be playing. And they're not going to know what to do, and there's going to be a free-for-all. Mm. Why are they riding back reportedly to London or France or whatever it is, and they're riding back to their parents after going into jihad, these young people going into jihad, and they're going, I want to come home, Mom. I can't charge my iPhone. I was like, you're cutting heads off. What do you even want? Because it's all imagery. It's a movie to them. It's not really real. The authenticity of life. When you can take life in the womb, when you can destroy life, and life has no meaning. When you told the children, hey, I killed your brothers and sisters, but I decided to have you. The duck, goose, Moloch, type thing. And so here we are at this particular point. And the whole thing was because of our sin, where we've fallen short, where we did not stand up for God, where we should have stood up. But we can now. It's not too late. It hasn't happened yet. And if it doesn't stop it, we can mitigate some of the consequences that's going on. It's like, I'll stand if I get to keep my house, my job, my retirement, my 401k, my place in society. This is what the rich young ruler did when Jesus said, for you. You're serving money. You're going to have to take all your stuff and your money. You're going to give it away. How many Americans would do the same thing? I mean, America's doing it right now. 97% are doing it, at least 97%, according to George Barna. And he walked away from God. Even though he was very religious, he walked away from God sad because he had many things. In other words, he'd have to give away a lot, and he had to give up a lot. Jesus loved him even as he walked away, but he walked away. How about you? Are you ready to lay it all down for God? It's not necessarily just, giving your stuff away. But don't be a fool, but invest in the kingdom of God. Begin to say, you know what, God, I'm going to stand. I'm going to stand for you. I'm going to stand for God and country. I'm going to stand for Israel. Everybody's going to know what I have to say. I'm not going to be ashamed of you in my workplace. I'm not going to be ashamed of you in the community, not in commissioner meetings and city council meetings and governors and Congress and senators and presidents. I'm going to stand up for you. God, I'm no longer going to sit silently by anymore. And one way you can do that, I'm telling you, one way you can do that is stand with us. Stand with VFN TV and the daily radio program. We're standing in the face of this. We're not planning outside the grace of God. If he shuts it down, so be it. But we're going to stand up to the day that would happen. Stand with us. Partner with us. Join our sponsors. I mean, this is how we do it. Do you want to give it all to ABC? Do you want to give it all to NBC? Do you want to give it all to Fox and all these different ones? Or do you want to stand up for somebody who can say, this is what's going on. This is what's happening. We already know the news. We're trying to change it. The news is, if we don't repent, this storm is coming, and it's going to bring great devastation. And because our leadership is participating in the potential destruction, attempted destruction of Israel, and it won't be destroyed. But because we're participating in it, guess what? We are going to suffer hugely if we don't turn. More when we get back from the break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
So that's what's wrong with those protein bars. You keep putting that soy stuff in there.
I went with, we're back on the protein bars.
That's what's wrong with them.
See, I was once told that it was the wrong flavored honey. Now we get on the soy.
Real honey, not the store-bought stuff.
Okay.
It actually comes from bees.
See, we have found out, Chris, that if the label says honey, you got to find out, is it made with real bees?
Just read the label, man. It'll tell you.
Because if they're hired bees, then it's not real honey. We are going to perfect
this. If you ever had natural honey in the store-bought, you would know what I'm talking about.
I don't think I've ever had natural honey before.
That's awesome. Very good.
But not like, do you have to get it from like a, is there like a guy?
You generally are going
to
get it from, one of those like vegetable places. What do you call them?
A grocery store?
No. On the side of the street. Place.
Oh, you mean like a farmer's market.
Yeah. That's where they get all the natural stuff.
The vegetable.
It doesn't come out of the back of a truck. Somebody actually made it and brought
produced
it.
Produced in a box and shipped.
Right.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Speaking of someone who can, give it up, I think about Miriam.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to show you Miriam. I believe Miriam's like 10 years old, and it's just going to melt your heart. She's in Iraq, and she's a Christian, and she speaks truth because, ISIS took her parents home. She's in a refugee camp. And her heart, you gotta stay tuned. It's gonna just melt your heart, and it's just so important to see that we either gotta have the rich young ruler's viewpoint and walk away from God because you can't serve them both, or we're gonna have Miriam's viewpoint.
Yeah.
And I think about Jeremiah chapter 44 verse 10, when the Lord says, "It says, to this day, they have not humbled themselves or shown reverence, nor have they followed my laws." And then at that point, he goes on. Therefore, this is what I'm going to do to you. And what happens is great destruction begins to come to Israel. What is he saying? He's saying three things. He's saying humility, reverence, and obedience. I want you to join us on our next program. We're going to go to this video, but we're going to talk about that some because that we have replacement theology has replaced those three key important things that bring destruction on our land if we don't.
Imagine that.
Yes.
Key things that we need to adhere to
has
been replaced. We're destined to fall into if we don't keep it.
That's God's definitely word. Replacement theology. So you have people going around today going, why is all this, this trouble, this problem, this pain is like replacement theology. God hasn't changed. We have. We got to get back. As a matter of fact, you got to hear Miriam right now. Take a look at this.
واحنا موجودين هنا في المخيم لقينا بنوته فوجئتني هي بتقول ان هي بتتفرج على ليش هيك واسمها مريم ازيك يا مريم
زينه انت كيفك
انا زي الفل انت بتتفرج على ليش هيك
فعلا ايوه
يس بتحبي سات 7 كيدز
دو اول يو لايك اس اي تي
انت فين بلدك جاي من قراكوش برضو
ايوه
يس فروم قراكوش
طيب انت عندك 10 سنين مش كده طيب قولي لي انت بقالك قد ايه هنا
في المخيم
4 شهور
4 months
ايه اكتر حاجه انت حاسه ان هي كنت بتحبيها في قراكوش مش موجوده هنا دلوقتي
that you don't have here.
كان عندنا بيت
we used to have a house and we were entertained and whereas here we're not
بس الحمد لله
but thank God God provides for us
قصدك ايه يعني ايه الله سترنا
what do you mean God provides for you
يعني الله حبنا
God loves us and he wouldn't let ISIS kill us
وما قبل يعني يقتلونا داعش
طيب انت حاسه
You know how much God loves you, don't you?
ايوه ربنا
yes.
بيحبنا
God loves us all. Not just me. God loves everybody.
وانت شايفه ان ربنا كمان بيحب
Do you also think God loves those who harmed you or not?
يحبهم
He loves them.
ما يحبش الشيطان.
But he doesn't love Satan.
طب انت شايفه
What are you feeling towards those who drove you out of your home?
خرجتك من البيت وتعبتك.
And caused you hardships.
ما راح اسويهم
I won't do anything to them. I will only ask God to forgive them. And can you too forgive them? Yes. But that's very hard. Or is it easy? to forgive those who made me suffer. I won't kill them. Why kill them? I'm just sad they drove us out of our homes. And why did they do that? You used to love your school in Korakesh, didn't you? Yes, I was the first of my class. Did you also have friends from school? Yes. Are they here with you? Maybe some of them are watching SA7 Kids on TV show now. What would you like to tell them? I used to have a friend before I came here. Her name was Sandra. We used to spend the whole day together. All day at school, we were together. Even though we didn't live close by, we loved each other a lot. If any of us wronged to the other, we used to forgive each other. Sometimes we used to play and wrong to each other, but we used to forgive one another. We used to love each other. Now I only wish to see her. You don't know where she is, do you? No, I don't know where she is. If Sandra was watching us now, I'm sure she's sending her greetings. And I'm sure she loves you, Miriam. She loves me a lot. And I love her too. And I wish to see her. For sure, and I wish we'd be with you the day you meet Sandra. Hopefully. What does that mean? I hope we go back home, and she goes back home, so we can meet together. I hope we go back home, if God so wants. Not what we want, but God, because He knows best. Don't you sometimes feel sad? Do you feel Jesus had forsaken you? No, sometimes I cry because we left our home in Karakush, but I'm not angry at God because we left Karakush. I thank Him because He provided us. Even if we're suffering here, He provides for us. You taught me so many things. Thank you. You taught me things too. What did I teach you? You taught me. You didn't teach me. I mean, you felt for me. You felt for me. I had some feelings and I wanted people to know how I feel. The children here. Do you know that Jesus will never forsake you? He will never forsake me. If you're a true believer, He will never forsake you. Do you remember a song that you like to sing when you're alone and to talk to Jesus through it, or don't you remember? I know some songs. What would you like to sing to me, the song you like? Just a short song that you can sing for us. There's a song.
Dear Lord, Lord, we come to You in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
and we repent for acting like and being like the rich young ruler. Lord, we want to be like Miriam. She was ousted by her home, seeing people beheaded, 4 months in a camp. And she holds no bitterness. She holds only love and asks for forgiveness for her persecutor. Lord, you said, for those that are sons of God, this is what we do. We forgive those who curse us. Lord, we have replaced your theology in the land of America and try to make new theology instead of going back to your word. Lord, I thank you for Miriam. I ask you, Lord, that you would meet her needs and all the people's needs in Iraq, Lord God, and the Christians that are in these camps, dear Lord, that you would give her even nicer home, Lord, and unite her to her friend. Lord, I pray for our audience that is listening right now today, God, that they too would have the heart of Miriam here, this young child who understands, who has not replaced the truth of your word in her heart. Lord, I pray, forgive us in America, God. We have the capabilities, we have the strength, we have the finance, we have the things and the stuff, but will we even give them to Miriam? Will we even release them? Lord God, I pray that you would turn the heart of your people in America, God. Awaken the church, Lord God. I pray for a grace, a Holy Ghost boldness to come upon your church to stand in the day of trouble. So this land does not have to be destroyed, that we would stand, that we would no longer bury our head in the sand of denial, but we would stand before you, God. Lord, we ask you in the name of Jesus, Yeshua, give us a boldness. Give us a tenacity. Raise us up to serve you fully, Lord God, that we would let go of everything, that things wouldn't have us. We would have things, but we would use them, Father God, to further your kingdom, Lord God. That you've blessed us to be a blessing, God, and that mindset would come back to America. And once again, we would bring light to the world, Father God. Lord, I pray, forgive us for being just like the rich young ruler, Lord God. We surrender all of our things to you, and yes, we will stand in the day of trouble by your grace and in view of your mercy. God bless you. We'll see you in our next program. We're going to go into more details with that.
We want to give special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless. You know, when there's nothing like, you know, finding out about, you know, that Jesus wants a personal relationship with you. You know, John, how people say, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what people go, yes. And then the political correct answer, another religiously correct answer.
I go to church.
Yeah, I go to church. And so, but the thing is about it is that, you know, it's such a common semantic, it's a common way of vocabulary of religious, it's like the religious jargon of the day. But you know, there is such a thing as a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you know, that he's the lover of your soul, and that, you know, he compares himself to the bridegroom, and we're the bride, and this intimacy, and he's preparing. I mean, you know, he wants to hang out with us because he loves you. He wants to hang out with you. I mean, and he wants you to want to hang out with him.
Right.
And we call, you know, it's abiding. I mean, think about it. You know, he talks about it in John chapter 15. You know, he just says that he says, remain or abide in me, I think it's John 15:4. He says, abide in me or remain in me, and I will abide in you or remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must abide in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you abide in me or remain in me. And so, you know, this, sometimes we put the cart before the horse, and we're sitting here trying to do all this stuff for Jesus. And, you know, it's like, dude, it's a byproduct of a personal relationship with him.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? It's overflow. Go ahead.
You know, Brother Greg, you know, a lot of times, too, that you ask, you know, a believer or a Christian these days, you know, why do you read the Bible? And sometimes the pat answer is just, I guess this is what I'm supposed to do. You know, I just got to do this chore, all right?
Two chapters a day.
Right.
Come heck or high water, two chapters a day.
And abiding is not something that we have to do. It's something that we get to do. Mm-hmm. And you know, oftentimes people think that, you know, it's only the pastor or the minister that can hear God's voice. But, you know, John 10, you know, it's my sheep know my voice. And that's right. An inheritance for all believers. And so every believer should be encouraged, you know, abiding, spending time and hearing his voice. And
think about it. I mean, it's just, you know, once you break the mindset and you realize that Jesus wants to talk to you. I mean, I mean, you got all these books that have been printed in the world, but the difference in the Bible is the fact that it's a living word, that it comes with the author, and sure, that God explains it to you, and he speaks to you from the word, you know, and basically it's just that, you know, people kind of know that they need to do this, and the enemy's kind of complicated it, you know what I'm saying? And it just, you know, people want to do, they just need a simple plan to do that. And, you know, we put together a simple plan for, you know, that we personally do ourselves. You know, we walk out this plan and we're seeing children, you know, walk in this plan. And when these children speak about what God is, how they're encountering God and what he's saying, adults lean forward and listen to them on VFN TV. Did you know, remember how that happens? Like, they begin to talk and everybody like, I want to be the Bible man, you know, out of Texas. And everybody leans forward. Why? Because we know that God speaks to his people. Well, if that's you, if you're tired of religion and you're ready to walk with God, and God's obviously ready to walk with you, you know, he says, you can just put all the stuff aside that you've been trying to do and begin to abide with him. He says, apart from abiding in me, you can do nothing. So, you know, with that, you can actually go to iabide.org. Just go there today, iabide.org. You know, read over a little bit, and if you want to be able to request that plan, you could just request the plan. It'll be sent to you immediately, John. Immediately.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, there's a video there. There's some explanation, everything you need to be able just to get started. Real simple, simple plan that we're seeing children, 8-year-olds, that are walking with God and hearing from God, and just so excited because when you start listening, I mean, what happens when somebody listens to you? You continue to talk, right?
That's right.
But if people stop listening, you stop talking, right?
Mm.
And quite often is, if you want to hear God talk to you, you got to start listening to him. And you'll find out he wants to hear what you're saying, but you have to want to hear what he's saying.
That's right.
And the definition of abide, everything you need is there, iabide.org. Request that simple plan today at iabide.org.